It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Morena, Paula, how are you?
Yeah, good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Settling into isolation, working and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different way of working, but I find the days go quickly. I'm really busy with work, I've got to say, but then, then you find yourself pottering a bit in between times, and the next thing you know, it's another day down.
Absolutely. Well, that kind of is a little bit the subject of the first question I wanted to talk about. We do want to touch on David Clarke and Simon Bridges, who've both been doing very different kinds of travel under Level 4 lockdown, but they've both come under a little bit of scrutiny. Let's start with David Clarke, because we've seen that he, as the Minister of Health, has offered his resignation after he drove his family for 20 km to get to a beach at the start of the lockdown. Now, the Prime Minister has said that under normal circumstances she would have fired him, but these aren't obviously normal circumstances and she does need his institutional memory. Do you think that we will see him removed from his position in the future, Paula?
Yes, I do. I'm guessing. But, when your Prime Minister's kind of lost faith in you and two errors of judgment, but that one obviously being the bigger one, and him not recognising it earlier as being wrong, I think, and identifying that, you know, really must leave questions in her mind. But I equally have sympathy for her keeping him in his role. I mean, the hospital system, our health system, is a really complicated one, actually, the way it works. And at this time, I would argue that she's probably right. We do need his institutional knowledge as to how the system works, and it would be very hard for another minister in these extreme times to get themselves up to speed as quickly as what she would need it. So, he can't explain it, I can't explain it for him either. But, an absolute error of judgment, but she's caught in a rock and a hard place, so I think she's probably made the best call she could in the circumstances.
To talk a little bit about Simon Bridges, whose travel is quite different because he's travelling from Tauranga to Wellington to do what is his essential work as part of the committee at the moment. But there is still a bit of criticism of, is it necessary for him to be doing that length of driving so frequently when perhaps video conferencing could be something that could be put in place? I guess both of these questions are asking, what kind of leadership should we be looking for our politicians at the moment in terms of just respecting these lockdown rules? Do you think that there's an issue with Simon's travel at the moment, Paula?
No, as you say, they're really different. I mean, one was going out to the beach with their family, to go for a walk and recreational, and the other one is doing it for his work. And it's not fun, actually. I feel sorry for him. I wouldn't want to be travelling that distance by myself, to go and do his job. And he certainly made the call, and it's one that I support, that to do his job as well as the country needs him to at the moment, he needs the access, he needs the internet access, actually, that he doesn't get from his home. He actually needs to be available and be able to run it. And it's had results. I mean, the committee's doing outstanding work, and he's running it extremely well. So, I mean, he certainly isn't doing it because he wants to or he enjoys it. He's doing it because he thinks it's absolutely critical, and I support him in that.
With both of these, I guess, instances, though, we have seen, I guess, maybe these questions of what should this leadership be looking like? How can we kind of, I support the messaging of respecting the lockdown? How can you sort of say to people, perhaps there are other ways to do your work from home, while also recognising that certain people do have to go into work, perhaps, Paula? What do you think is a good way of improving?
Yeah, well, I think Simon's showing real leadership in it. He's, as I say, doing the travel that he doesn't particularly want to do because he sees the importance of the job that needs to be done, and actually that's leadership in itself. He's extremely careful doing it, he's respectful of it, and I think there's just a huge difference, one that felt like a walk and sort of travelled 20 kilometres away to do it, and another that, because of their job, feels that they have to actually be making sure that we've got the level of scrutiny. And when it comes to sort of more testing, quarantining, and the people who's got in front of that committee and the questions that are being asked, we can definitely see the value in it. And and he's just so conscious of that being safe and him not putting either himself or anyone else at risk doing that.
Let's talk a little bit about future now, beyond this Rahui period that we're in, and kind of looking at, I guess, until we get a vaccine for COVID-19, we will be seeing some restricted border controls. We'll be seeing restrictions on the movement of people, even, I guess, around our own country as well. What would you like to see in terms of those border restrictions going into the future, Paula?
Well, right now, and for the next certainly a few weeks, and I'd probably say a couple of months, I would like to see quarantining. And I just think we know that that's how it got into the country. We know that that's the bulk of how it's been spread as the close contacts to those that have come in. So from that perspective, I just really strongly believe that we should be quarantining everyone that comes into the country, and that should be happening for some time. It's the biggest risk for us. I sincerely hope, like everyone else, that what we're doing at the moment is making a difference and very early signs, but we can't all go through this much pain and then not see the results of it or see us bounce back really quickly. So number one, I would say quarantining, testing. We just have to keep those numbers up and think about how we start doing it quite differently with people that may be asymptomatic but still be carrying, and different ways that we can do that as well. Then it's like, so we're in level four now, and then what does it mean and what does it look like to move to level three? Is there some movement within that as far as people that do work in isolation in their jobs but still leave the house, being able to get some of that going back? And I think of my own family members who are predominantly tradies. Well, someone that sits in a digger all day and doesn't have face-to-face contact with anyone and does all of their work over the phone and over the RT, you would argue getting them back and productive and some of that work that can happen. So I wonder if, businesses that can prove mm-hmm. that what they're doing safely is another way for us to kind of get ourselves moving, while people like you and me can probably work from home a lot longer and sort of see that too. So I just think there's going to be some real changes, obviously, in how we work and where we work. And I'm not sure that it's completely going to be black and white, and there could be some grey in there. And I hope that the government are kind of thinking through that longer planning.
In terms of support for businesses, I guess you've touched on some kind of immediate steps we could be taking there. But what are some of the longer term supports for businesses you'd like to see happening in the next few months to years from this, Paula?
Well, there's no doubt about it that we could be pumping certainly more into infrastructure, which creates, thousands upon thousands of jobs. I mean, if you look in some of it, we're at risk. And, a lot of your listeners will have been, are at university, are studying, are thinking about their careers and what happens next and how that works. And, the effects of this will certainly be felt most acutely for the next 12 to 24 months. But actually, we've got to be thinking 5-10 years out from that as to what sort of jobs are we training people for, how can we make sure that actually whatever stimulus we're putting into the economy via the government and via putting that into the private sector, I would argue, so that they can create those jobs and opportunities, that we don't see a generation sort of left behind on high unemployment and not having the kind of opportunities that others of us have had. So there are ways and smart ways of doing that I think needs to be thought of in that longer term.
Well, I actually think that might be all we have time for this morning, Paula, but we really appreciate you speaking to us, and we will chat to you again in a fortnight's time, where I'm sure we'll be hearing more about how this level four situation is panning out, and we'll have plenty to talk about then too.
Great. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thanks, Paula.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.